Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, November 21st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link or the words Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using for over 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. You can click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives when they engage the use of these tools. And it also tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, testimonials. If you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. And when you call that number and press 1 on your phone, and when the Blog Talk Radio switchboard is working, which it's not right now, I can see the icon of a hand by your phone number and turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. But if you're doing that now, please understand that you're not being ignored. We are having technical difficulties. So I'm hoping that this is going out through the Internet and reaching people, although I have no way of knowing because the Internet is showing me an error file for logging in at the studio. So we're here to teach and support people in using these tools, and we're hopeful that you can hear and that we're being of service, because that's our intention with this work. So I will send a little email here to Jeannie Rice, see if she's able to verify. Oh, thank you. Susan has texted that she can hear me fine. So I will start talking a little bit about what we've been doing. We've been doing the Way of Mastery, and the Way of Mastery is a big blue book that has three smaller books within it. And we've been reading it and studying it and working with it as a set of tools. And so since I don't have any access to the switchboard, I will just assume you can hear me, and I will talk about the next level of Lesson 30. And in Lesson 30, so far, it's been talking about the difference between making and creating. Making is something that happens through ego, through striving, through thought, through tension, through judgment. And creating is something that occurs naturally when we are aligning with the flow of life, with the wisdom of the Creator itself. And so the title of this next section is, Are You Making or Creating? And the text reads, The difference between making and creating is essential in the way of knowing. Therefore, I want to invite you in this lesson's message to begin to look at your own life. Where are you resting in knowing and allowing creation to flow through you in each present moment? And where does your mind become absorbed in what you think you must make occur? Come to discern the difference between the two and notice the quality of feeling that is within you when you are in each of those states. Now again, this book has talked about over and over again, feeling, not our thoughts about it. Even from the first lesson where it says, the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. Get into your heart, get into your body, get into your felt sense, get into your intuition, ask to be shown, tune into the more subtle energies, look around the edges of what your visual perception will show you. Learn to feel, to sense differently. So here we are in Lesson 30. Once again, it says, come to discern the difference between how you feel when you are going with the flow of life or when you are trying to make something occur because you think you should make things different than they are. Come to discern the difference between the two and notice the quality of the feeling state that you experience when you are in each of those states. The text goes on and says, if you are diligent, you will come to see that whenever you are in the middle of, quote, making, close quotes, love, making life conform to what you think it should be, whenever that happens, you'll notice you are in suffering. When you are creating, you are enjoying the miracle of creation itself. For you are in a very unique position. You are both that one through whom creation flows, and you are also the witness of or the observer of the act of creation, flowing from the mind and heart of that creative center that I have called Abba, who is, that is, but, capital L, love. celebrate then and embrace the uniqueness of yourself as the offspring of creation. You are one who gets to experience love, create love, and also observe and witness the flow of love. If you do not understand that that is miraculous, then spend as much time as you need to alone without moving a muscle until you get it. For that is the capital T truth of your reality. In Michael Rice's terms, that word would be actuality. The truth of what you actually are is this miracle of life expressing in form. The text reads, it is timeless and eternal and far transcends the boundaries of the physical body and the boundaries of your ideas about your physical self, your personality, your personal history, your children, your mates, your bank accounts. It far transcends everything that is temporarily arising in the field of form. As this work says, everything that begins in time ends in time. Everything that's in the physical realm begins in time and ends in time. So everything is temporary in the physical realm. Everything that arises in the field of form will come and go. Your essence does not come and go. Your consciousness does not come and go. The text goes on and says, as the holy offspring of creation, as that created, capital S, spirit, birthed to create, your ability to be aware of the flow of love is unborn and undying. You will never lose it. As the Holy Son of the Creator, as the holy offspring of creation itself, the power of your ability, the power of your beingness to allow love to flow through you is unlimited forever, and it will never be taken away. As the holy offspring of the Creator, your capacity to enjoy the very act of being the one through whom love is extended, that capacity is without equal in all of creation. And it, too, is never taken from you. Those three aspects are really one thing. They are the truth of who you are. Anytime your mind has fallen under the power of the egoic mind, which is just to choose wrongly and insanely for the moment, whenever that happens, the actuality of your being never goes away. It is never changed or altered in any way. All that has occurred is that you have used time to lose awareness of the capital T truth. And in the next moment, you're free to choose again. The healed mind is one that accepts its true knowingness. One way to state that is, I and my Creator are one. Only love is real. I cannot possibly be a victim of what I see, since what I see is what I choose to see. And if I choose to see with the eyes of love, all I see is perfect innocence and the will of creation clearly at work. Just one way to say it. every time I falter, every time I lose track and I get distracted by the egoic mind that wants to work and try and find and change and fix things that aren't broken, every time that happens, I am but a thought away from reconnecting with my true nature. What's the true nature? It's represented by this quote. I and my Creator are one. Only love is real. I cannot possibly be a victim of what I see, since what I see is what I choose to see. And if I choose to see with the eyes of love, then all I see is perfect innocence and the will of creation clearly at work. The healed mind is simply one that rests in that simple reality. It has merely trained itself to always choose the voice for love. It does not matter what arises and passes away. The healed mind is not a mind that can make whatever it wants to happen, happen. That is the egoic attempt to become absolutely powerful. The meek of heart, the pure of heart, realize that making is an illusion, being is actuality. The choice is yours. Do you go on doing what you've been programmed to do, making things, doing frenetically, frantically?
Okay, I'm going to try something here. Dr. Tim's having trouble getting in. Celinda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, it's really weird. I mean, it took me 20 minutes to get in on the switchboard, and Dr. Tim said he called in and got kicked off and tried to call back in, and it keeps telling him that there can only be one host. Well, he's the only one in as host, but the switchboard's still showing that he's in there, but he said he's not, that he got kicked off. The Blog Talk is really having some issues, apparently. And, of course, then Michael won't be able to dial in if Dr. Tim's still somehow or other locked in there. So I'm not sure what we're going to do on the show today, but I recognized your number, so I thought, well, I'd take a chance and see if I could be heard, because I can't hear, you know, texted Dr. Tim, and I said, I can't hear you talking, and he said, I'm not on there. I got kicked out. So I don't know. We will... I guess try again in 30 minutes and see. Michael's in a class right now, so he can't take over early. But I guess we will try to dial back in here in 30 minutes and see if we can do the second hour of the show. So everybody that's on there, I apologize. Apparently it's a Blog Talk issue because, it, like I said, it took me about 20 minutes to just get the switchboard up. I kept getting a 404 error that there wasn't an existing site, and so I don't know. I sent the tech support an email, but sometimes it takes a day to hear back from them. So anyway, if everybody would like to try to call back in, Dr. Tim can't get back in, and so I guess we'll just wait, and Michael will dial in at 1 o'clock, and we'll see where we can go from there if he can get in as host. It might have something to do with the host number. I'm going to leave the switchboard up. That way, if he has to call in on a regular line, I at least can turn his phone on. So thank you, everybody. Apologies. Well, I'm going to say welcome to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. We'll see how this goes. Dr. Tim had dialed in, and then he got kicked off, and it's been like silence, and some people can't get dialed in at all. And so anyway, we'll see how this goes. Michael will be dialing in a minute, and since it's still showing that Dr. Tim is in as host, he's going to dial the regular number, and I will just turn his microphone on, and we'll see how it goes from there. Thank you all for hanging in there. It took me about 20 minutes after Tim texted me and said he was having challenges to even get the switchboard to come up. And I have written to T. tech support, so they know that they have an issue. And it is a Blog Talk problem, and it's not, oh, good. I just got a text from someone said, yes, you're on. I can hear you. So good. I wasn't sure if I was going to be talking to space or what. So anyway, we welcome you to the second hour. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and questions because that does make this your show. I'll invite you to go to our website, which is whyagain, whyagain.org, and you can click. There's 6 major buttons right in the middle of the page when you first sign on, and then you can also go up and click on Start Here, or you can go down and click on the bullseye in the middle of the page. And those are places where you can get started. Now, tomorrow, actually, Yinka, who does the book club for us, or not for us, but we participate with her in her book club, and they're going through the Why Is This Happening to Me Again book. You can pick up that information under Schedules or under Events, either one, on our website. Michael participates in that the second and fourth Thursday of every month. However, the Thursday coming up, the 24th, is Thanksgiving for us, and so they're going to do that on Friday at the same time. So it'll be 3 o'clock our time, or 3:30 our time, and they will be doing the book club. Excuse me. I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving this week. I believe that Dr. Tim is planning on doing a pre-recorded show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but if the switchboard's working right tomorrow, he will be live tomorrow, and then he'll be doing pre-recorded shows the next 3 days of this week. But anyway, what I was getting ready to say is Yinka had suggested, and she's going to assist us in doing it, tomorrow we're going to be recording just how to use the website and where you can find things and how to click on different things. And then we will make that video available so that people can click and find things more easily, hopefully, on our website. So anyway, if you have any suggestions, and we also may include how to use the app on that. I'm not sure. We may do that as a separate recording. But, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, since I'm the one that helped create the technology of the app and the website and everything, you know, it's familiar for me. And some people, you know, they get on it and it's the website's huge. And it's like, where do I go? What do I do? Where do I start? And so hopefully this video will make that a little bit easier. So we were in a class this morning talking, it's learning about the soil. You know, Michael has talked several times the past week that you can't grow food in dirt, that you have to create soil. And that's one of the things that we have been doing here in Bristol, is because it's here we have just like clay, and it's really hard. And you know, we've just done different things, tried different things, added microbials and all this stuff just to create soil for us to grow our stuff, to grow our food. And so this is a course that Carrie Lee, a friend of ours and a student of Michael's, had actually participated in, and she told us about it. And so we had our first class today, and it's actually still going on. They're doing questions and answers. And so Michael is still tuned into that. Oh, nope, I see his hand just went up. So I'm going to say welcome, Michael. And hopefully this will work.
Thank you, dear heart.
Yay!
Oh, just getting headset plugged in. Jeannie and I are in the middle of taking a course on soil building and restoring soil health for planetary.
It sounds like you're, Michael, it sounds like you're way far away from
yes.
your microphone.
I was.
Okay. All right.
I was just getting it plugged in there, so. That should be better now. In any event, we were in the process, and the course ran over, was still going on, so was finishing off the last topic that they were on in soil building. We'll be sharing some of that probably as we go along, because of course, if you don't start your health in the ground, then you don't get your health out of your body. And so what happens in the soil is always reflected in the culture, in the bodies of those who are living off of the soil. You look at the amount of rage and fear and guilt and conflict and disease, maternal mortality, infant mortality. You look at that and you look at what's happened to the earth, and it's pretty much the same thing. And so if we're going to take a truly holistic approach, we're going to have to look at and deal with the whole thing. And that includes the soil. Actually, I have an article that I'm working on called Healing from the Ground Up. We'll probably put that in the newsletter soon. But Healing from the Ground Up looks at the fact that you can't grow food in dirt. You've got to have soil. And most of the agriculture world, first thing they do, if they've got soil, is turn it into dirt. What do you mean, Michael? How do you turn soil into dirt? Well, it's really actually quite easy. All you have to do is pour 10 gallons of glyphosate on every acre before you plant, and you got dirt. There's no soil left. Because glyphosate kills everything in the soil. And, of course, if you happen to be the company that brought us Agent Orange and the company that brought us Zyklon B, if you know what that is, and now you're the largest seed purveyor in the world, and you start to scratch your head and go, wait a minute, what's happening here? These seeds are being turned into monster seeds, and I think that's an appropriate term, that you have to kill everything in the soil. And then you have to pour, shock of shocks, chemicals you have to pay for in order to make the plants grow in the dirt, because they've killed the soil. And anyway, it all works with in our physiology, it all reflects. And, the whole system is a feedback loop. The toxicity that comes in through the mind ends up in the body, ends up in the soil. The soil degrades. The ways of dealing with and treating the soil degrade. The attitudes of the mind toward, well, we want more profit. Who cares about what happens with the soil? The whole cycle gets confused. And when we begin healing from the ground up, we take every level into account and bring correction to the degree possible in every level. So that's what we're here to do. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, or anybody in the chat room with a thought for us before I go into any other topics?
I don't see any other hand up, and there's no questions in the chat room. So I'm glad that we had several people trying to get in the call during Dr. Tim's show, and there was technical difficulties. We apologize for that. But we are thankful for the 10 callers anyway that are here right now that hung in there waiting to see if it was going to come on. So welcome. But there are no hands up.
Great. Then I'm going to continue with a conversation that I started the other day about a young lady who was dealing with pain in her shoulder and the cycles that she's gone through with that. And we had shared a few days ago about her being ready to go and have surgery done on it, although she'd gone time periods with zero pain and had done some work around it. The pain seemed to disappear. Put her hand in the Avacyn and got relief from, went from, gee, I can't lift a glass of water, there's so much pain in the shoulder, to packing up her house and moving, and being able to unpack, load boxes in the car, unload them with a shoulder with which she couldn't pick up a glass of water, to new layers of pain coming into the shoulder. And I shared the other day that we've been processing, and I invited her to watch the movie All the Rage by, actually I don't know the producer's name, but the movie's about the work of Dr. John Sarno, who tells us that a great deal of pain that people experience comes from the fact that they have unresolved rage and that the mind is smart enough to figure out that, gee, if I hurt my knee or I hurt my back or I hurt my shoulder, then, you know, now I have a reason for that pain, either physically and literally one will hide their rage in the tissue or their fear or their sadness or their grief. And so she had watched his video. If you want to catch it, you can do it on YouTube. You can do it. I think it's $4.99 or $5.99 on YouTube. If you've got an Amazon Prime account, I think it's free on Amazon. You can go to a website, All the Rage DOC. So All the Rage Doctor, only it's just short form, alltheragedoc.com. And for $6, you can buy it and watch it on Vimeo. And she was in the middle of watching it, and I've seen several people over the years watching that video have extreme pain, extreme physical pain disappear on the spot during the video. And such was the case with her the other day. As she was watching that, she communicated with me afterwards. She's watching it, and there's a place where she went into process and started to realize some things. And inviting guidance on what's going on, and ended up pain-free. What she got in touch with was 30-some years ago, she was raped, and the man who was raping her, as he did, kept slamming her shoulder, this shoulder that had so much pain, down on the surface where he had her pain. And as she was able to process that, the pain disappeared from her shoulder. So she had another reprieve from pain. Now, Dr. Sarna would explain that, you know, the pain didn't come from the shoulder being slammed down. Yes, there was pain there, and the body healed that, and it's done with. But the emotions around it, if not processed and dealt with, will tend to restrict circulation to tissue in different parts of the body. And when you've got about a 5% restriction of oxygen to a cell, the cell goes into excruciating pain. Offering is, it's a 100% mental disorder, thought disorder, he doesn't use that term, that causes a restriction in circulation. That's one of the reasons why the Avacyn can be so powerful with pain and why it's approved for pain management, but restricts the circulation. And when the oxygen isn't getting to the cell screams out in pain. So as she processed this, her pain disappeared. And then she wrote to me. I'm going to go back and get it clear here. So she then had another layer of pain come up. And what she wrote, I'm just going to read a quote from her. All day yesterday, my upper left arm was very painful. That would happen once in a while, but not all day. I got the thought that it was about grief. Mom? Dad? ? No. She watched a vet show where horses were in an accident, a severe accident. And the memory came back of her dog being hit by a train. And at 10, her mother tried to stop her. She says, I went to identify the dog. And the dog was mangled. She said there was just so much grief. As she processed that, here's the quote. This is pretty excruciating pain, the kind that she's got a date set for surgery to have the shoulder redone. Said, so this is a whole day of pain, an unusual level of pain. And when she processes this situation with the 10-year-old's experience of her dog being killed, quote, pain in her upper arm went away and has not returned. I am in awe. She says, I've not experienced anything like this without doing breath work. I guess it's a testament to keeping my head down and steadily doing my work, no matter how long it takes. I am grateful. And so she's, as I said, she's got surgery scheduled, but she's going to keep doing her work and moving through the layers. And if she gets to the point where she gets 2 weeks under her belt of being pain-free, she's going to cancel her surgery because she knows she's getting these reprieves, you know, for her physical pain that a physical process could repair. Obviously, there wouldn't be reprieve from it for long periods of time, and certainly reprieve wouldn't come when a deep emotion is processed. Kirsara would say, well, what happened is when that, you know, event happened in your life, there were painful emotions, and it's been moving around in your body ever since. And once there's what seems to be a shoulder injury, then the mind uses the trick of sending that emotion to that tissue, hiding it there, locking it in there. That's why it's called the unconscious. Remember, in this work, at least my take is that the unconscious mind is a total and complete aberration. It does not belong there. We're not designed to have an unconscious mind. But when there's something I don't want to deal with, then, and the body is literally the unconscious mind, then the energy's locked in tissue. When it's locked in that tissue, the stress, remember we talked before about sympathetic dominance, the body goes into that fear mode, which restricts circulation. When circulation is restricted, red blood cells can't get through capillaries to get into tissue. And a 5% restriction of oxygen flow, or oxygen presence in a cell, as Sarnol puts it, is excruciating pain. So now we've got a total mental cause of a total physical experience of pain. And when the strain is released, and basically, you know, you've heard me say before, the avacyn is a physical form of forgiveness, that literally the avacyn is opening circulation and moving the energetic patterns out of the structure, which is what forgiveness is. And so in the same way as if I simply do the work mentally, recapture, you know, pretty heavy duty experience. This woman's in her 70s and here she is processing something that happened to her when she was a child of 10. And her tissue expression changes dramatically. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and make an offering. There is no such thing as a physical disease. Michael, how could you make such a silly statement? Well, here's how I can do it. I listen to Einstein. And Einstein says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. Quote, Albert Einstein, there is no matter. We don't live in a material world. We live in an energetic world. Our eye makes it up to look like matter, but that's simply a limit on perception. Remember the other statement that Einstein makes? If you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Separateness is an optical delusion. Having a body that's separated out from the rest of the world is a product of perception. It's a product of the mind. So there can be no physical disease because there's no physical world. There is an energetic world. And when qualities of energy that are considered to be disintegrative to the system enter into the system, then the system begins to disintegrate. You remember the ancient Aramaic language, the word sin describes an archery action. When you're on the archery field and you fire at the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells, sin, you're off the mark. If you recognize your physiology as an energetic device and you put an energy into the tissue structure that doesn't belong in the tissue structure, then you've sinned. What did they say? The wages of sin is death. That's about physiology. Yes, we have a physiological system, but we don't have a physical device. We have a device that reflects perfectly every energy field that's held within it. And the toxic, dramatically destructive energy fields created by sin, by energies that are off the mark, whether those energetic patterns entered the system 2,000 generations ago, 2 generations ago, in utero, in childhood, or whenever, if there's disintegrative energy, then it's going to be a reflection of that disintegrative process. And so what we're looking to do with this whole radio show, the whole purpose of doing this show, is to make available understanding of just how this energy system works and the power that you have to interact with the system and bring it into disease states or remove its disease states through forgiveness by improving and increasing the energy flow so that the whole system works properly. And when we wake up to how that all works, then develop the skill of working with the energetic patterns in the system, then we get to change the game. And what we're looking to do is to change the game for as many people as possible on planet Earth, to create support, understanding, and the tools with which to change your own game. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what it's all about, Elfie. And I hope that makes sense for everybody. And we certainly hold the space and are here to assist and support with anyone that's in need of support in healing your own energy system, your part in the energy system that's called family, your part in the energy system that's called your body, your mind, your emotions, by bringing conscious awareness to how the whole system operates. So we're delighted that you're here with us to be part of this conversation. And, of course, if you're out there in listener land, we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind? How can we support you? Any experiences to share? Any questions to ask? Anything on your mind that will assist you in opening to deeper and deeper levels of understanding? So our calling number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly. And if you push 1 once you've called, then that will raise a hand in the control panel. Jeannie will know you want to talk to us, and we'll be able to have a conversation. So what's on your mind? How can we support you? We've got, well over 30 minutes left to the show. Our apologies if you tried to get in earlier for Tim's show, that there's something happening with Blog Talk, and Jeannie, of course, in her genius with computers, got a workaround so we could do this show. Couldn't get that to operate for Dr. Tim, but our apologies to Dr. Tim and everybody who tried. But you're out there in listener land. What's on your mind? How can we support you?
We have a hand up.
Great. Let's say hello.
It's 808, and I believe it's Miss Roma. Hello, young lady.
Hi. Interesting.
Welcome,
topic,
young lady.
Energy. Yeah. How are you all doing?
We're rocking along. We have had Arya for the last 3 or 4 days, and we just she went off to school this morning. We won't see her again for a couple of days, but it's been an awesome week.
Yeah. When you say school, what is it?
She's in preschool, pre-kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
She goes a half
when
a day.
When did she start?
5 days a week. Oh, back in September, late August,
oh
I guess.
Oh, my gosh. So how's she doing
she's
with
loving
that?
It. She's
oh
loving
my gosh.
It. She's learning. She's just having a blast. I actually posted on Facebook last night. We finished dinner early, and so we decided we were going to sit and watch some videos with her. And so, you know, she's got the choice. What do you want to watch, Arya? She's 4. I want to watch something on the body. Okay. So we go in, and there's a cartoon video on anatomy and physiology by a little cartoon character called Gilbert Grape. And Gilbert Grape goes into the mouth and goes through the whole digestive system and explains it. Takes about 20 minutes to explain how it works. Well, she wants to watch that twice. And, you know, she sits for 15 minutes at 4, totally glued to this explanation of, you know, the esophagus and, you know, which way are we going to go down? Is he go down into the lungs? Oh, the guy has to cough to get him out and into the digestive system and into the stomach and what happens there. And he, you know, the acid bath and then into the small intestine and the large intestine and the rectum. And you know, and she wants to watch it again. It's actually the third time she watched it yesterday. And then she wants to watch going into the brain. So there's another cartoon-type character that goes in. You know, I listed the four videos, and the final one is all, you know, it's going into synapses, and she's just glued 2,000% to these videos. You know, she could be watching cartoons, but, you know, so.
Gosh.
Anyway, and summer's been a good refresher for me from years ago in anatomy and physiology, so it's been good for me, too.
And she also, you know, they had parent-teacher conference one day last week or week before, and she's still having a little bit of challenge. She has never been real interested in writing, but she's starting to get there. And but the teacher, she gave her one of the highest compliments, I think, that any teacher could give. She said, Aria has the biggest heart of any child in this school.
Oh,
and
my God.
And talked about how she would give up her crayons or whatever, and it would leave her without any, but it would make a fellow classmate be able to do what they were wanting to do. And we actually took her Saturday to a dinosaur museum, and she was playing with something, and another little kid, a total stranger, came in and grabbed like four of the pieces, and the child's father, you know, called her by name and was like, you've got to share. And Aria looked up at him and she said, that's okay, I still have two. You know, it's just, it's amazing.
Wow. Boy, that really brought tears to my eyes. It's going to be so exciting to just witness her life.
I know.
And opens out, and it's obvious that her destiny is in medicine, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she said. And Michael, I heard you talking through the wall, but you weren't coming through the microphones. Yeah, she said one time her mom wasn't feeling good, and she was kind of taking care of her, putting a blanket on her, and all that. And she said she was going to heal the world with her love. And Gabby asked her, said, are you going to be a doctor? And she goes, yeah, but first I'm going to get big, grow a big mouth and big teeth and be a dinosaur. So, you know, so she's still a child, but she's, you know, she's got both, the grown-up aspect and the child aspect.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
And there was
wow.
In the dinosaur museum, they've got a, you know, touch and feel kind of kids place area, and these building blocks, and there was a young boy, probably 10, who was also playing in building, and they ended up gravitating toward each other. And when he would leave to go to talk to his mother or something, Aria would take him by the hand and go with him and come back with him. And she just, and it's like we both ended up taking pictures of the two of them together, because they were friends and, you know, connected at the hip. So just, she'll walk up to a stranger. We're in a store, and she'll walk up to somebody and say, hi, my name's Aria. I'm 4. What's your name? It's like, what a trip. What a trip.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, the reason I pressed 1 was because you were talking about energy and that we are not physical objects. We're actually energy beings. And I saw something on Gaia. Let's see, how do I get to Gaia? G-A-I-A. It's
right.
Subscribe.
Gaia TV.
And yeah, Gaia TV. Are you subscribers?
We're not subscribers. I've been thinking about subscribing to it.
Oh, man. Program. And it was they're mystic. There were 5 mystics. And mystic in the sense that they are masters at working with the energy. And he said, be with the object. This is what the one said. He said, be with the object like it is sand and pass through it with your hand. Fascinating. And then one said, feel frequency and change. Oh, I only wrote little notes. They don't make too much sense. But anyway, if you subscribed, if anyone on the call subscribes to Gaia, look for this. I think if you put energy in the search area, you might come up.
Right.
Yeah. One of them was talking about energy as chi. And defined it as chemical gas in the body, qi. You know, they were saying that physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual is the way we tend to think of it, but that qi is, it's the energy that motivates everything.
Right, so, right. Well, I remember back, it's probably 32 or 33 years ago, I was taking people on tours to different places around the world, doing the Y work, the forgiveness work, and touring the world. So I took a group of about 30 people to China.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Huh. That was back when China was, you know, it had been opening up since, who was it that first went to China? In any event, it was opening up, and the fear that was, you know, pretty much permeating the culture of the Chinese and the communists and all of that. And as we went to about six different cities and ended up at in a hospital doing some study work with qi and such. And what struck me, what became very hopeful, two things that really struck me was, one, back then they were only allowed one child and their children were so precious. I didn't know it at the time that I set the trip up, but the travel agency on the other end was actually the Chinese military.
Huh.
And I ended up spending some time with a man who was pretty high up in the Chinese military, and this was an operation to get people around the world friendly with China. And one of the topics we ended up having, you know, conversations we had was about how he and how people in China in particular just really cherish their children. And having only one, it was so important to him. And I can remember having a conversation and thinking, well, you know, it's interesting. I hear that part of the conversation here is that your children one day are going to have to sacrifice themselves at war. And my input was, you know, what if we all started to recognize that all of our children are precious? And what if we started to just really live as love as human beings and never have to sacrifice our children to such a thing? And he was like, it was almost like, you know, a head shaking event for him, like, oh, what a radical concept. And then in speaking to people in different cities, especially, it was kind of a healing tour, this idea of qi, and I realized that it is totally and completely the same principle as Rukadukuja, or what the Greeks called the Holy Spirit. It's qi. Oh. It's the energy underlying. And it's like, you know, I don't think we need to be as concerned about communism as we thought, because nobody's going to breed that root idea of energy and being out of the Chinese, because it's as solid as a rock. It's been there for thousands of years. And yeah, everywhere we went, people were out there doing Tai Chi. You know, every city, you know, in the morning, there'd be people in the parks and all of that. It was just, it's a part of the culture. So
wow.
It gave me great hope in dealing with this man who was top-level military person and really getting into the conversation of family and qi. So.
Well, China was the first place I decided I really wanted to go and see when I was young, like when I was a teenager or something. I told myself, when I'm 20, I'm going to go to China. And for some reason or other, I had a picture of it that it was very beautiful and green. Did you see? Did it seem like it was beautiful and green when you were there?
So many beautiful places. I mean, the big cities were a travesty, but so many beautiful green spaces and the Guilin, the mountains, and it's awesome countryside. And the people were friendly, you know, welcoming, generous, and
well. My next lifetime, I'm just going to travel around the world.
There you go.
I'm sure there are places down in South America that are fascinating. I mean, just go all over the world. I used to sing on Holland America cruise ships, and they offered me the world cruise, and I turned it down.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't you like to have that opportunity today?
I had done a lot of by that time, so I was kind of tired.
Okay, I'll go sail the world for 2 years. What the heck?
Right. I regret that. Oh, my God.
I bet.
My mind is very different than it used to be. And it's hard for me to remember things sometimes. So anyway, blessings to everyone on the call, and thanks for your input, Michael and Jeannie. And I love hearing stories about Aria. It's great. So I'll get off. Let someone else get on.
Have a blessed
one. Okay.
Right,
thank you.
Bye bye.
Aloha.
Aloha. You know, one of the wonderful things about traveling like that, and we don't have to travel to do it either. It really struck me this morning as we were listening to this soil course, and there are people from all over the world registered in it, and we ended up in some, you know, they do a breakout room and you introduce yourself and have a conversation. There was a young man maybe in his mid-20s from Israel who was working with children. There was a woman from L.A., you know, the middle of the city, and she's working on soil building now and on outlying areas in the Los Angeles area. But just the sweetness of people, you know, it's just amazing. And those people are all over. And sadly, you know, we've got a news media that's built up to keep telling us about all the crazy people. And underlying it, though, there are just so many amazing people out there that it's pretty, pretty cool to connect with them. So, Miss Jeannie, we're down to about the 25-minute, or a little less than 25 minutes. So do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
It is all quiet out here.
Quiet on the Western Front. All right.
Yeah. We got a lot of listeners, so somebody press 1 and ask your question.
So if you're out there in listener land, let's have a conversation. Again, if you're not on one of the stations that we can see, or if you're not calling in where we can see you on our control panel, you're on one of those other stations. If you call 563-999-3581, you'll be listening to the show live. And if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. So push 1. Let's have a conversation. How can we support you? How are these principles fitting? Are there any pieces missing? You know, I kind of started in the middle of a conversation with what I shared today about this young lady and what's been going on with her shoulder. And there might be some questions aroused by that. And if I haven't filled in enough of the blanks to make sense of all of that, then this would be a good time to ask your question. And, of course, the forgiveness process is the major tool. We've got a whole series of tools, but that's the core tool. Always suggest everyone fall back on, and that when you understand that perception is a construct of the mind, that literally the pictures you see are not pictures of things that are out there, the reflections of the content of your mind, and if there's pain in one of those pictures, it's because there's an energy in your structure that doesn't belong there, an energy that's off the mark, And the way to access the hidden parts of that energy, you know, maybe something that's been going on for 10 generations. The way to access the hidden underlying energy is by engaging in forgiveness. Now, you can do the forgiveness process right there on the website live. You can do a worksheet live on the website. Print it off when you're finished. You can go to the worksheet page and download any one of a number of different forgiveness worksheets or different sheets that we've experimented with and worked with over the years. And as we, you know, refine, we keep the old worksheets on the website so that anybody that wants to can access them. We suggest that, well, we've heard from many people that they like to vary the worksheets that they do to get different flavors of the approach on an energetic level. But in essence, that when you know how to collapse the content of your mind, your perceptions, that's how you get access to the underlying dynamics inside yourself. And when you can bring the underlying dynamics inside yourself to the surface, that's where forgiveness occurs. You can also go into your app store on your phone, your cell phone, or your tablet or what have you, and type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Heartland, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. And if you do that, you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Jeannie has designed it in a way that it'll walk you right through the whole forgiveness process. Anywhere you have questions, you just click a button and you send a question and we'll address it on the radio show and send you back information about where that question was answered. So the app's become extremely functional. There are two different worksheets on it. There's a children's Dragon Klingon game. There's access to the commitment. There's access to the web pages. You know, just websites over 20,000 pages. You can spend years on that and not find every corner of the website, and each one will give you another gift. So how can we support you? What's on your mind?
Within the app, you can ask a question.
There you go. By the way, do we have any questions from the app?
I just went out and looked, and there are none that we haven't answered.
Okay. Well, then, if you're out there in listener land, give us a question. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Call in number 563-999-3581.
We have a hand up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
All right. Miss Ann, 760, you're on the air.
Welcome.
Hey there. Yes.
How do you be?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm working on, you know, things in the body that don't belong, but making it through it. So my question, let's go back to the soil thing. When I read, I haven't been able to listen to the show, so I was looking at the archive description summaries, which are so great when Jeannie has a chance to put the notes on there. And I saw the one about the soil class. And so, yeah, since things happened with Dr. Tim's show today, I kept trying to call back in. It wasn't happening. And then I just called in directly once your show was on and I got on. Okay. But,
right.
So it answered my question because I was curious about the soil class and, you know, compared to what the notes were saying. And so, the question was that a class you were doing that you were providing? But no, you're taking that class. But over the months, when you always talk about the garden and, you know, how you've learned bit by bit how to make it better and all that stuff, and because it appears that emotionally, mentally, and eventually physically that I am being led to move to up to South Carolina where my daughter lives now and be a part of that up there because they were able, well, with son-in-law's mom and you know, Daniel and Lisa put the funds together. They had most of the funds to buy the piece of property behind them.
It was
close to an acre as well. And so I, you know, had some thoughts about being the gardener. But anyway, I've had to, and this learning time is going through my emotional past and dealing with stuff, and I see where I will be ready, so to speak. Well, as ready as at the level that I will be, anyway, because I had to get past some fears. And the fears are gone, and I need to look at, you know, moving up with family different than I was, because I was looking at it the way the world looks at it, which is, oh, it's going to be so bad or this. And, you know, and I'd listened to different opinions of, you know, going and living with family and those that don't and those that do. And then I just got quiet and, okay, but this is me. And it's not about what my mom did or didn't do or me, you know, bringing her on board so late in her life and us having a really tough time being an only child. And I go, okay, then you're preparing me and you're getting me ready for that, and that I can be, you know, be love and resonate that no matter what's going on. And so it's just going to be more practice environment, as it were, right? And so I'm looking forward to it. So go back to the garden thing, and I go, because I'm not sure, okay, what ministry, God, are you going to have me in? You know, do I plug in with a church? What do I do? Or is my ministry just being the gardener? And, you know, we get a bigger pot on the extra property, whatever. I don't know, because I'm not sure about that yet. But I was thinking of asking you, and I'll bring it up now, and you can put that up on your plate with all the millions of other things you have going on with your projects. But now that you're taking that soil class, I wanted to call and employ you when I got up there to come and check out the soil there, or I could, you know, take a sample of it and send it to you, whatever, and have you come and give instruction in person, if possible. I'm just throwing this out, or not, but then, you know, that would be a class that you would do to help somebody do it. And so I just thought I'd throw that out to see if that's something you might want to do.
Interesting thought, but we're students in this class that we're doing now, learning more about soil. And the only thing I really know about soil is what we've learned from YouTube University. When we decided that we wanted to start developing some gardens here, you know, we spent hours and hours and hours on YouTube watching different gardeners and different people and different soil experts. And then we've been successfully creating soil and having some just wonderful, productive, relatively small gardens. But I don't know enough to run a soil class of my own. But there's so much information available on YouTube that you could do that. And the way we ended up in this class, actually, there's a woman who's been studying my work for the last, 25 years or so. And she works for a nonprofit that does soil restoration. And
right. Okay. So that was what
she's actually writing. Yeah, Carrie. And she's writing us actually new legislation for the state that she's in for soil management. And we've had several discussions. I've been giving her input, and she's given me input over the years. And then she came across this course, and it was she who informed us that this was happening and suggested that we might want to do it. So, and it was an interesting morning. It's sort of doing things on a new level. But no, I'm not qualified to be hired out as a soil consultant by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, well, in another year, who knows? It'll be next year. But it sounds like then maybe when you get through this course, then maybe you could say, hey, yeah, it would be recommended, because maybe then I can get Daniel, because, you know, he's kind of the farmer. I mean, he grew up with his family on a sawmill kind of thing. And, you know, so he's kind of, you know, the gardener part too.
Right.
Also, I mean, in the family. So, but maybe, yeah, we could, when I get there, we could take that course or something too. If you, so anyway, keep us posted then.
Sure.
Please.
Lots of stuff. Just start looking on YouTube. There are many, many, many gardeners with many different theories and many different things they've tried out and telling you what worked and what didn't work. And that's what we've been doing, is basically watching that. And then a great deal of my time has been spent just traveling around the neighborhood, collecting up people's grass clippings and leaves,
yeah,
and branches and tree cuttings, you know, sawdust and building soil. You know, we've got we've built some compost bins, and so we're composting everything. We're doing vermiculture, and you know, it's all just a learning process for us. And one of the things I'm really enjoying greatly is just getting my hands in the soil, getting down on my hands and knees and getting in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's an energetic contribution to my health and aliveness, and the whole thing is worthwhile.
Yes, and I would agree, because when I had my garden plot here where I live, it's a gated community, but we were allowed to have them. And I, yeah, much was going on with me mentally, emotionally, but so I gave my plot up, but it was kind of in a place, it was really hard to do what you're doing, because it wasn't mine, you know. Legally,
right.
It wasn't mine. It was just, you know, it was lent to us, you know. It didn't cost us anything, but it was lent to us. And it was kind of hard to do all that. But now I will have the opportunity, you know, next year to do something like that. Okay, so I'll keep post or
cool.
Keep
are you on Facebook?
About you next time. No, only the group one that we set up for the intensive.
Okay, because I just had
my daughter might be, though. So
yeah, last year or the year before, somebody was asking us how we built the garden cover and such that we did, and what we were doing, and I did a post, and that actually just came up coincidentally this morning, and I reposted it on Facebook, so I thought I'd send you a link to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have.
Cool.
I can have Daniel look at that, or Lisa and Daniel up there on. I think they are, but okay. Yeah, that would
Sweet.
Be great. Yeah, that link. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
right.
I'm
well,
looking for it. Yeah, like you said, to get my hands back in the dirt, because I really enjoyed doing the garden before. So, okay, sounds good.
Well, it's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
It's awesome to you know, when I think over the years that you've been involved in the work, to hear how your world has progressed, that you're in a peaceful, connected state, letting go of old family dynamics and just going for it, and moving wholeheartedly into looking at gardening. That's awesome. Good for you. Sweet.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's
nice
all
work.
God. So, yeah, that's all God. And thank you, though, because you – you know, just being a part of the work, even though, and I think somebody posted that, I think it was Magda, I read a note that she had put on there. Yeah, not doing it perfectly, but still a part of it, still works. You know, we don't have
yes.
to understand it all. And I know there's a, you know, scripture, ancient scripture says, you know, it's beyond understanding. You know,
yep.
the God and Yeshua is beyond that, but yet we still believe. So that's kind of like what this work is like. Beyond, you know, the whole Einstein thing is beyond understanding, but yet, and listening to and being part of your intensives and everything is still a part, and listening to Dr. Tim's way of mastery thing is, yeah, it's all fits together, and for each of us, you know, at the level that we're at. So thank you.
Sweet. Delighted. Thank you for saying thank you.
Yes, bless
you. All right. Any
okay,
other
we have another hand up. And we've got
okay,
4 minutes.
Go
I'll give you a clue when it's getting ready to go off, because I know you won't hear the
okay, sweetie. Thank you.
Recording. Okay, this is Miss Susan, 610. You're on the air.
Hey,
welcome.
Hi, guys. Hi. I wanted to give a little COVID report, a little update.
Yes.
Even though I came through it really fast and everything, I then became very tired for a few days, and also quite depressed in a way that sort of didn't seem like my normal, usual bad. And I'm coming
right.
out of it now, but I went online to look at, you know, other people's experiences, and that seems to be a thing. And I wondered if you had had the same experience after you had COVID, fatigue and depression, or anything unusual.
No, pretty much got through the other side of it. That was it for me.
Good.
Jeannie, your thoughts?
Well, the whole time we had it, I mean, we stayed in bed. It was like sleeping and drinking a lot of water and just some fluids. We didn't eat a whole lot. And so we just, you know, really just stayed down until we got to the other side.
Do you remember?
The first time that we had it, it took about 10 days to begin to even begin to feel normal. Now, the second time we had it, it seemed like, you know, it was more sore throat type stuff, and it seemed like we went through it quicker, like maybe 5 to 7 days. But the first time we had it, it took about 10 days. But the brain fog, now, sometimes that, you know, hits people really hard and stays with them for a while.
Yeah. Well, that's just really interesting. I'm just interested. Also, I've had it's just so hard to find out what's true about things. A friend of mine sent me a short video about how the American Medical Association had been taken over by rich people who orchestrated Big Pharma and took away this and that and made it all about money and everything. And I sent it to a virologist friend of mine who's tremendously bright researcher. He writes back and says, as with everything, there's truth here and there's falsehood here. He said, the AMA scientifically, is, I put my trust in it, but social policy, you know, the health, how you distribute health services to people, they've done a bad job about that. And so he said, you know, you just have to bring your discerning mind to everything and try to stay open. He didn't answer my question about ivermectin or hydrochloroquine, but boy, I'm telling you, you almost have to not say anything sometimes. I don't know what to think about these alternative treatments. I mean, people get so mad. If my doctor's son was horrified, and yet my medical doctor, functional medicine person, swears by it and says, you know, this is a very known old medicine. Of course it was for animals at first, but there are human appropriate doses, and it's been helpful. And gosh, I guess you just have to hunker down. And some people muscle test. I have a friend who asks herself, she'll muscle test on herself and find out what's the right thing. And I suppose that's as good of a way as any. I don't know how to do muscle testing so that I would believe what I found out. You know, I would just think I was making things up.
Right.
But anyway, this is sort of a garbled report.
There have been approximately 3.6 billion human prescriptions of ivermectin. So it's a well-known human medicine, although I think to a great degree the pharmaceutical industry put out this, you know, brainwash about it being horse pills and horse dewormer, which it's also effective for that. But I think the reason is because it's so cheap. It costs pennies compared to
it didn't for me. I had to
tens
pay
of thousands.
$109 for my
got
bottle.
5 seconds.
You're kidding. $109. Jeez.
Yeah.
When we got it, and we paid $22 for a round each.
God.
But I guess the first time I think we paid about $70. Same pharmacy had reduced it to about $22 the second time. So I guess each pharmacy does what they choose to do with it. Yeah. But when you think, even if it's $90, you know, the average person is going into you know, the hospital and paying $30,000 to $160,000 to die. So, you know,
I know.
$90 is pretty cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, my dear heart, we cherish you.
All right.
And
the
show's about
to
cut us off, so we're going to say
yep.
Have a blessed one. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.